Right here, right here. Okay. No? Yeah? Right here. I need some people right here. Give some people right here. Okay. Usually I do prepare a PowerPoint, but this morning I forgot to bring my over the flash drive, so apologize for that. Okay. Well, that's a little better. Okay. Well, I just hope that people can come closer to the front. Well, I want you to imagine something. Okay. Imagine a scene. Let's say you have been invited to a formal dinner. Okay. Imagine that, to a formal dinner at a friend's house. Okay. Friend's house. And then, so at evening, you arrive at your friend's house, right? And then, everybody dressed very nicely. And then you walk into the house, and then you walk into the dining room. Okay, imagine that. Okay, walking in the dining room with very nice seat there. And then you notice among the many guests there is this young woman, maybe in her early 20s, very young. And then she has this long, dark, silky hair. Okay. And then this woman was actually being very intimate with a guy sitting in front of her, and this she was kind of caressing, touching this guy with her hair, and then also she's kind of, even though people are watching her, like thinking what she's doing, she's kissing the guy, and constantly, imagine that, okay. And not only that, she pours lotion on the guy and starts to rub the lotion on the guy, okay? Okay, what's your response? How would you react when you see this? What do you think? What do you think? What?
Awkward,
yes, awkward. What else? What do you think when you see this thing here? Huh? Anybody else? I try to get some people to kind of, more interactive way. Okay. Okay. Suppose you imagine that scene. Okay. Imagine that. Suppose you actually recognize this young lady, this young woman. She has this bad reputation. She actually lives in your neighborhood, and everyone in the neighborhood knows that she's a prostitute. Okay. A prostitute. Now, what do you think? What comes to your mind? You ready? Remember, imagine that. Okay. Silence. Everybody's silent. Okay. Okay, now, well, imagine more. Suppose that you actually also know the guy, she was actually very intimate, very kind of close to it, let's see. And this guy happened to be a church pastor. Not the real pastor here, okay? Imagine the scene, okay? Not definitely not, okay? I don't even know you should pass, okay? Imagine that. What do you think? This young woman, be very intimate with the guy, being a prostitute, and yet, touching and feeling all over your pastor. And you see that. What's your reaction? Freak out? What are you doing? Okay. Alright. So, anyway, this thing actually is very similar to a story I'm going to share with you today in the Bible. Talk about the story of Jesus. How many know the passage I'm referring to? Who is knowledge about the Bible? Oh, sorry, am I getting some feedback? Sorry, what did I do? Okay, what do you think? It's actually in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at that. Do you have a Bible with you? Because I apologize for that, because I usually have a Bible passage on my PowerPoint, but I'm also maybe using a different version than yours. But you do need a Bible, because I'm not going to be able to, unless you are very good here, then you can understand, okay? Now, it's actually kind of my story. This thing is kind of based on the story here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Start with verse 36. Okay? Verse 36. My version is New Revised Standard Version, so I'm not so sure your version. The translation can be a bit different, but that's okay. Okay, have you found your passage? Yes. get your iPod, whatever, you know, the Bible verse there. Chapter 7, verse 36. Okay. Now, the first one, you see a dinner. Verse 36, it says that one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him for dinner. And so Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. So that's verse 36. Okay, stop here. So you see that this Pharisee was maybe trying to be nice to Jesus, invite Jesus to his house for dinner, right? Okay, how many of you invite people to your house for dinner? How many? Invite your friends, no? Nobody? Yes? Okay, how many invited you, like your, people, a pastor to your house for dinner? Yeah, okay, good. You should do that, okay? Invite your pastor to your house for dinner, okay? And so, apparently this Pharisee is very, kind of trying to extend maybe courtesy to Jesus. Maybe he's trying to be a friend with Jesus, inviting him to his house, okay? So that's the thing, okay? Jesus is invited to a house, a Pharisee's house. And then in verse 37 to 38, you see a very surprising act. A surprising act, okay? Then, and a woman in the city, a woman who was a sinner, in my Bible, in my verse, a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Okay, let me stop here. So it's a very surprising act. Okay, first we learn that this woman, what does it say about this woman? Sinful, yes. In my version, the label is sinner, okay? And you need to understand that time. At that time, maybe a lot of people would usually call sinners, but at that time, during Jesus' time in the first century, when a woman is labeled sinner, it had usually means certain things. It means that she's sexually immoral. It means that nowadays, maybe she sleeps with a lot of guys. She is sexually promiscuous, okay? That's what they call sinner. And most likely, she was a prostitute. That's what happened. So it's kind of like a word, a lot of label, the label that at that time label a person who is sexually promiscuous. Okay, I don't know, is there a term nowadays called that such a person? Okay, anyway, so that's the kind of person she is. And this actually identity, the label of her as sinner also happens later. We'll see that again, sinner. And then what happened? She then, once she heard that Jesus was actually in this house, she brought something, right? What did she bring?
A jar.
Did you say alabaster? Do you know, anybody know what alabaster is? Anybody? No? Have you seen? Yes? What is it? Yes, very precious stone. Kind of like a pearly color, I'm not sure. But it's kind of transparent. So, very precious. And usually to hold like a very expensive perfume. And here, hold a perfume or ointment. Here. And so she bought this thing, and then so she came to Jesus, right? And the thing, what did she do? What did she do? No. Remember I mentioned about the hair? Apparently, I imagine she has a very long hair. That's how she can start to kind of wash Jesus' feet with her tears, and then dry them with her hair, right? And that's what she's doing, drying them, and then she started kissing him, his feet, right? Remember that? I kind of used the analogy there, and then also anointing, then using the ointment inside the jar, and to kind of provide Jesus with some ointment on his feet. Okay, so what's she doing? Isn't that kind of weird? I mean, do you do that to your guests? No, nobody does that, right? What's she doing? So it's kind of awkward, different for all time. But at that time too, I think it's a very surprising, awkward act, right? And so it's open to kind of people try to see, understand. And so here, in verse 39, then the Pharisee, remember the host, when he saw this, he came to some kind of interpretation. He tried to understand what happened. Okay? So, what did he say? Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, he said in his mind, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. So in my version, it says a sinner again. That she is this known sinner, a prostitute, and she is touching Jesus in a way that's kind of awkward. Okay, that's kind of unusual. And so he came to the conclusion that because he kind of started with who this woman is, and he started saying that, okay, this means that, if Jesus was actually a man of God, a prophet, he would have would have known that this woman is a sinner, a prostitute, and then he wouldn't let this woman touch him at all, right? So he came to the conclusion that Jesus must not be a prophet, a man of God. Okay, that's kind of, in a way, he used this kind of, the act kind of confirmed maybe he was already doubting Jesus being a man of God. Okay. And so that's kind of his point of view. Verse 39. The way how he sees this act. Okay. That's why I asked you in the beginning how you would interpret if you were invited to a house and you saw something like this happen. How would you interpret it? And I think it's quite natural for this Pharisee to see that because, in fact, he knew this woman and she has a very bad reputation and no one in society wants to get associated with her because of her reputation. And then he sees what she's doing to Jesus in a way seductive or sensual way. And so he interprets this in a way that's kind of inappropriate. And how can Jesus allow this kind of woman to touch him? And so he came up with this kind of point of view, okay? How Jesus shouldn't, have anything to do with this woman. So that's his point of view, verse 39. Okay? I hope you're getting into the story a little bit, to see what happened and see how you would respond. If you were to get here, how would you understand the situation? All right. Now, in verses 40 to 43, then Jesus kind of provides a way to understand this situation, this scene, differently. Okay, you must understand that. So Jesus, in verse 40, you can go to your Bible again, chapter 7, verse 40. Okay? Verse 40. Then Jesus spoke up and said to this Pharisee, Simon. Now we know that this Pharisee's name is Simon. Simon, I have something to say to you. Okay, Jesus went, teacher, he replied, speak. So Simon addressed Jesus as teacher. Again, show kind of his respect for Jesus being a teacher. Okay, now, Jesus will tell him a story. In verse 41, a certain creditor had two debtors. Okay, a creditor and two debtors. One owed 500 denarii. Modern day, I don't know. A denarii, they say a denarii is like a day's wage, but it really doesn't matter. Maybe imagine the 500,000 or whatever. One person owed that much. And the other 50 or 500. Okay. And when they could not pay the creditor, he canceled the debt for both of them. And Jesus said to him, to Simon, verse 42, sorry. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Jesus asked Simon, which one will love you more? And Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And then Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Now, when I read this story, I don't know how many of you are actually in debt. No? Anybody in debt? Mortgage, okay, yeah, I have mortgage too myself. And, you know, but how about me, young people? Have you ever borrowed money from people? No, right? Okay. No? No, pay down. Anybody else? Have you ever been in debt to people? I borrow money from people. Okay. For me, I do in debt, but the situation is like, the people who borrow money and couldn't really pay it back. Okay. In recent years, there are people around us, experience that, who lost it because they lost job, because the economy, they couldn't afford to pay the mortgage, whatever, and they face the prospect of losing their house or their possession because of that. And so, well, then I suppose this goal would mean a lot more, okay? That when you couldn't pay back and you have this large debt and keep accumulating because of interest, whatever, and then you say, how am I going to pay for it? How am I going to live? And suddenly, your bank that now all your debt is forgiven. Now this, okay, isn't that great? And so, when you see that, when you actually, people who have experienced some kind of that worry about how are they going to pay off their debt, for people who go into college, how are you going to pay off your student loan, whatever, and then being told that now you owe nothing, And so it must be, and then so Jesus using this kind of analogy story to tell something. And the point is that he wants to first ask it for those two people. One person owed a lot, $500, and both will cancel their debt. Which one do you think would kind of be more thankful, would love, love the debtor more? And of course, everybody would say, just like this person, Simon, the one who owed more, right? Isn't it? Everybody agree? Yes? Okay. So, Jesus used this story to kind of help, try to go back to help Simon the Pharisee, the host, to understand what he sees, okay, the situation here. And so, and Jesus continues. Okay, now, bear with me to verse 44. Verse 44 to 46 is a contrast. You gotta understand the contrast. Before was kind of Jesus providing a different point of view, and he's going to make a big contrast here. Verse 44. Okay? Are you with me? Okay, 44. Yes. Now, then turning toward the woman, Jesus then said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Now, Jesus is going to help Simon to kind of point to this woman. "Do you see her?" And then, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you, Simon, you gave me no water for my feet. But she bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair." Now, let me stop here, okay? You need to understand in that culture, the custom, a guest, usually when the guest comes to your house, you provide certain, courtesy to the guest, try to be a good host, right? What do you usually do when you invite a guest to your place? Some of the things that you do to help the guest feel more comfortable. Yes? Yes, that's right. Have a drink. And provide a drink. Can I get something to drink? Yes, that's right. That's what we do, right, in our culture. And so, this morning when I came, someone provided me with a bottle of water. That was very kind of person. I need to drink some, actually. I do. Okay, so, yes, a bottle of a drink, okay, a water. And so that's kind of common courtesy people do to their guests, right? And that time, because the way people travel, they don't wear this kind of sneaker shoes, right? They wear sandals. And because the outside is kind of very sandy, a lot of dust, so the feet gets really dirty when you travel to outside or go to someone's house. So the first thing that usually the host does is that try to provide some kind of water to clean the feet. The feet get really dirty. Okay, I know nowadays, especially for Chinese family, when we go to someone's house, we usually take off our shoes, right? Do you take off your shoes when you go to field house kind of thing? It's in Chinese culture, we want get the house really clean, so we took off our feet. And for at that time, at Jesus' time, people just wash their feet, provide a service for the guests. Okay, it's a way to honor their guests, to extend courtesy to the guests. Okay. So, now, so that's one thing. And so Jesus is contrasting between what Simon, he's supposed to be a, he actually invited Jesus to his house, right? And he's the host. And he actually called Jesus teacher, but he didn't really extend that basic courtesy a host should have done to the guest. He didn't do this basic service, which is washing, or at least provide water to wash the guest's feet. Okay, so Jesus pointed out what Simon didn't do as a host, provide a basic courtesy. But this woman, he gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. That's something that goes beyond just a host would actually do to a guest. Okay, can you imagine using your tear to dry someone's feet? Now, can you imagine that? Okay, and can you imagine using your hair to dry someone's feet? Those with long hair to do that. Can you imagine that? Once I did a kind of foot washing in a church. I don't know if you've done foot washing. Washing someone's foot, you know, usually some people will do that during the before the Passover, you know, time. And once I did that, and I tried to ask people volunteer to wash someone's feet, and I see no result. No one responded. No one washed someone's feet. Would you wash your friend's feet? Yeah, that's good, okay? That's very good. So, last time I remember asked people to wash it, they don't even want to do that because I feel like kind of unsanitary or something. Or use a towel, and I use a towel to dry it. And after I use that towel, I remember some people just don't want to touch it again. You know, this is so dirty, you know, someone's feet. So can you imagine this woman willing to kind of use her, she probably didn't have water with her, you know, she traveled that, and so just use a tear to dry Jesus' feet. That's something that goes beyond a host, a regular host would do to a guest and try them. And Jesus tried to interpret her action not as some kind of seductive act, but as an act of love, appreciation, thankfulness to what Jesus has done for her in the past. And we'll see that later here. So the one thing, and then Jesus also talked about, you gave no kiss, okay. Don't misunderstand. Jesus asked for, like, you know, the host to just kiss in the modern way, okay? But at that time, people greet the host. A host greet the guest with some kind of, kiss, you know, like, you know, a lot of European or Middle Eastern, they kiss, kind of just show greeting. We don't do that in Chinese culture. We don't do that much. But that's something that, you know, that, in that culture, it's a common courtesy, common way of greeting. And so this Pharisee didn't treat Jesus with that kind of respect or a greeting that's the kind of thing that's right for, you know, a guest to do to the host to the guest. So he didn't do that. So even though he invited Jesus to house and even called Jesus teacher, he didn't even greet Jesus properly. Can you imagine you inviting a guest and guests come over to a house and you kind of just ignore your guest? And how would that guest feel? You didn't really mean to invite him or her, right? And so this person didn't, this Simon Jesus, Simon the Pharisee did not again extend that basic courtesy of greeting. But yet, Jesus says that, Jesus makes this big contrast. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. Kissing my feet is goes beyond that, again, that common courtesy of greeting. Just, you know, they go maybe a kind of fake kiss on the cheek, but she actually kissing Jesus' feet as a way to can you see the humility, kissing someone's feet and in a way kneeling down. And so she goes beyond what that culture demands for host to do to the guest. And number 40, verse 46, you did not anoint my head with oil. Again, that's a very cultural thing of providing kind of relief to the guest, oil to the head. But this woman, what she did, she has anointed my feet with ointment. You know, treated Jesus' feet with such a care that she because the feet was really a lot get dirty and get dry, she put ointment on it. And then Jesus, after this contrast between, you know, the Pharisees were actually very honored in the society, okay, at that time. And he thinks that Jesus is a lowly person, and he didn't bother to kind of extend Jesus with that courtesy, with that respect. But this woman does what, you know, the Pharisees did not do, beyond that, you know. And she, in her humility, she did to Jesus, she treated Jesus with such a respect and honor that no one else did. And now Jesus gets to that point. This is the point, okay? The whole thing, the story. Remember the story. The story as a way to provide a different perspective, different point of view, and a contrast. And then verse 37 is the point. Forty-seven is the point. Okay. Therefore, I tell you, her sins. I'm glad that Jeffrey, the leader, was at the end. We're talking about sins here. Her sins, which were many. Jesus did not deny that she actually sinned greatly. Jesus didn't put it down. But Jesus said something amazing, that her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, therefore, that's why she has shown great love. So Jesus is kind of interpreting, help Simon to understand this event, reinterpreting for Simon that what she does is an act of love, a kind of a thankfulness, thankful love, like what Jesus has done for her in the past. That Jesus has, in the past, encountered her and she has forgiven her of her many, many sins. And that's why she's now responding with that, from her experience of forgiveness for Jesus, of what Jesus has done for her. Therefore, after her sins, which were many, have been forgiven, hence she has shown great love. Jesus is using that, remember that analogy of a person always owing a lot of money, a person owing very little. And what you see is that for Simon, maybe he hasn't really experienced forgiveness. Okay? And that's why he hasn't really shown Jesus that love, a little bit of love. But this woman has experienced something that's amazing. Forgiveness of her many, many sins. And Jesus using the forgiveness, kind of using the owing the debt to describe, that's what happened to her. When we sin, we kind of, we're owing God something. Every time we sin, we start become in debt to God. And forgiveness is God saying, you know, canceling all the debt we owe Him. So you want to see sin as an accumulation of your debt before God. Sometimes you owe God. Just like when you do something wrong to another person, you kind of owe the person an apology and offer that person forgiveness. Same thing with God. When we sin in our life, we become indebted to God, and forgiveness is a release, a canceling of debt. Okay. And then Jesus did something even more amazing. Here is that Jesus in Jesus said to her. Now before Jesus telling Simon the Pharisee that how to understand the whole thing, then Jesus actually turned into her and say something in public, that now your sins are forgiven. And I understand that what Jesus already actually forgiven the woman's sin before. That's why she's responding that. But now, before she was doing that, maybe Jesus was doing that in private. But now in front of everybody who thinks that she is a sinner, a great sinner, right? But now Jesus publicly proclaimed that now your sins are forgiven. No one can call her sinner again, because all her sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. think a lot of times, I believe that every Sunday when we come to church, it is a great time or great opportunity to receive, to experience God, to experience His forgiveness again. And we must first, again, just like Jeffrey was saying this morning in his prayer, that we must kind of realize how simple, what the things that we have done against God, and realizing that come to God and asking Him for forgiveness. And to experience that release of forgiveness is a great thing. And the Bible talks about, blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. Because this kind of weighing in your heart, maybe we did something wrong in the past, you did something that you wish no one would know, something in secret, and it's weighing down on you, you know, making you feel really guilty or bad, and you cannot take away from it. But when we come to God, there's a power, He has the power to release that guilt, release the sin. And this woman has experienced that. Jesus has did that for her. Has done that for her. So, and I believe that is really powerful. But for people who don't really believe that Jesus has the power to forgive sin, they don't really get to experience that. And that's what happened here in verse 49. But those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this person who can even forgive sin? They don't really believe that Jesus can do that. Okay? So they don't get to experience the power of forgiveness. And now Jesus then said to the woman again. First he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then he said to her, your faith has saved you. Because she believed that Jesus can forgive sins. And then so your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now she is in peace with God. Because of what Jesus has done for her. And I believe that every morning when we come to God to worship, we can also experience that forgiveness. We can experience whatever bad thing we have done in the past. We come to God and we genuinely confess our sins and repent from our sins. And we can ask for forgiveness. And in 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess our sins, we tell God we have done something and we repent from it, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us. And I have something kind of a crazy idea. I did that once. I didn't know how it worked, but I was hoping to do that this morning too. I want to bring this idea of forgiveness, incurring debt, and experience kind of forgiveness from God. And so I have something. I don't know if we can do it. I hope we can do that a little bit. I know it's kind of out of time, but we can do it during the. I know after the sermon, there's offering, right? Offering, and I want to just kind of think about the message. Think of what this woman has experienced. Okay, I have this jar. This is not an alabaster jar. Okay, it's not. I have some. Do you guys have a pen? Did you bring any pen or something? Something to write? Yes. Okay. Yes. Anyway, so I have a chance for you to confess to God in a concrete way. Okay. I'll have you think about confession only. Like you just talk to God in private. That's fine too. But there's a way that for you to kind of. Remember I told you that every time we sin is that we are writing a debt, we are in debt to God. And so I want you to write something you think you want to, even only if you want to participate, okay? Write down the things that, maybe the thing, something you've done, something wrong, something bad you've done in the past. Maybe something that you're afraid people will find out, something, and you want God to forgive you of what you have done in the past. And so I want to write down the pieces here, what they call sticky notes, okay? And no one's gonna see it. Don't worry, I'm not gonna see this too. But only I just want a way to express that and to confess. And I'm going to ask kind of three packs you can distribute. And then if you would like to participate, and I'm gonna put during offering time, maybe the usher can kind of ask us to put it inside. And I have something I'm gonna. I have a light that will burn this thing up. Okay? Burn this thing up. It's a way to show that God doesn't count this against you. because God is faithful and just. We confess our sins to us. So, only if you want to participate, you are free to do that. Yeah, please pass around. Okay, right here. Would you? Okay. So, what we can do is use the time. I know there's going to be music for the offering, and while you think about offering, and you can also put your sins inside this jar, and then we're going to bring it as a way that God forgives, a forgiveness of God. Okay. So, maybe after the service, we can then go on and see, the burning of these sticky notes. Okay. All right.
He humbled himself.